Before. Okay, it happens to be that we're up to some Agadata right now, and I did want to spend a little bit of time talking about the way in which a person approaches Agadata, because we will in our lives, and we have in Bekiyas, Mesachs Ksubis, even a decent amount of Agadata that comes up. We do know that Chazal, all the way down to the Alter Rebbe of Chabad, in talking about the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, do refer to Agada as an area of Torah which a person is expected and which a person is supposed to try to master in a certain sense. And that in of itself is worthwhile. The Medrash describes the questions you're asked at the end of days of what a person has learned. So one of the questions relates to your familiarity with Agada, your familiarity with Midrashim. We also know something else which is fascinating about the nature of Agadata, which is the way that our Bavli is structured. That our Bavli is structured, that we do have within our Talmud Bavli Agadata mixed together with the halachic sections of Gemara. That maybe, as we referenced last week a little bit, as the Pundar points out in the Maimar and Chanukah, that the nature of Shas is that Shas was not written as an organized work, it was written as a record of oral conversations. And the same way that if you would look at a transcript from a Shabbos lunch meal, you would say, wow, why did they structure things that way? Why did they speak about that at the main course and that at the first course, that the appetizer? The answer is, it's a conversation. And in conversation, things flow in different directions. And that seems to be, in a certain sense, what's happening here in Torah Shabbat Peh, at least for many, many Bali Machshava. But this mixture of halacha and agada creates a reality that everyone sort of is encountering. When you learn halacha, you are encountering agadata. We do know that there are particular gemaras or sections of gemara that have more agadata in the Mesechas Gittin in the middle, Nivav, Nizayin, around there. You have a lot of agadata surrounding Chorban Habayis, a lot of agadata there. The Eretz Yisrael agadata taking place at the end of Mesechas Ksubis. But often you have what we have here in Ksubis, Andav Hey, which is like in Amud. In Amud, like in the middle of a lot of discussion, just some discussion of some Agadata. We also know that sometimes there are Gemaras that we're not sure if we should characterize it as Agadata or not as Agadata, rather as more of a halachic statement. The Gemara in Sotan Dafir, we referenced this Gemara a bunch of times recently. Noach lo adam sheipol lekipshan ha'eish v'yabim p'nei chaveyo barabim. Better to go into a burning furnace than embarrass somebody else. Do Chazal mean it as a halachic statement? Like, if you have two options, someone says, either embarrass him or jump into this furnace, like, or throw him in the furnace, you'd say, put me in the furnace. Is that what you're supposed to do? Or is it not a literal statement? It's more of an agadic statement. Not always so clear. When the Gemara speaks about Ya'el and Avera Lishma, whether that serves as a basis for many halachic discussions or not, those are all conversations which are very important to know. What we want to talk about, I think, are sort of two to three things about agadata. We're going to try to do as good a job as we can. Again, because I think many of us, if we spoke about learning halakhic sections of the Gemara, learning Lamdas, so many of us would know intuitively where to look. I look at Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. I look at the Ritva, look at the Rif, the Rush. I see what the Rambam says. I know who the Achronim are. You know, is there a Ketzos on this? Can they say anything? The more contemporary Achronim, what would he have in Chidushay from Nachum, in the writings of Rav Shmuel, in the Kiyos Yaakov? Suddenly it's Agadata, and we're like, okay, give me seven places that you would look to see Pshat and that Agadata. And the answer is like, I don't know how many we would get, but maybe we'll see if we'll play that exercise a little bit later. But some of it's to clarify what the goal is, the way people learn Agadata, and what is there. We're going to speak about three things. The first is going to be a discussion about the authority of Agadata. How does the person relate to Agadata? What degree of authority it has? The second, we'll speak about how to learn Agadata. What are the ways in which it can be learned? We'll speak about what we're going to do today a little bit as we reflect upon it. And the third thing we're going to speak about are any just helpful resources in the world of Agadata. If you are interested in learning more when Agadata comes up, what are those resources? We'll try to speak about it. It happens to be also, and here's part of the challenge of Agadata, which is if you learn it quickly and superficially, it often seems to be absolutely absurd. That there are a variety of Agadic statements that if a person reads, you know, I remember like, I rarely, rarely give Daf Yomi Shirin, but whenever I visit my in-laws in Montreal, but often end up giving like that fuel for a day or two. So the halachic sections that are somewhat complex, you can still make your way through, and the basics are really there in many ways. The Agadic section, you're not investing a lot of time. It's a 40-minute dafyomi shir or whatever it is. And then it becomes a little bit harder because you can't have a lot of time. It requires a deeper understanding often. Sometimes it's hard. And the absurd statements, you're giving a shir, saying something that's absurd. Like, you know, the whole crowd is like, you yourself, like rolling your eyes, like, no. You know, but the answer is yes. You have to figure out what exactly it's trying to say. Let me begin as follows. As far as the authority of Agadita, so not all Agadita and not all Medrash is created equal. Not all kinds of statements are created equal. Some statements you can understand at face value. When Chazal is an example, and the Gemara and Yuma tell us that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they violated Shfichas Damim, Gidei Raya, and Avodah Zarah. So that may be a literal statement, like it was destroyed because they violated those three Averas. It's not a cute way of expressing a diff. Maybe it really means that that's exactly what happened. Other Agadic statements, though, maybe are not meant to be taken at face value or as literal. When Chazal described how tall Moshe Rabbeinu was, so did Chazal really think Moshe Rabbeinu was that tall, or were they conveying something else? And not all Agadic statements are created equal. When Chazal, as an example, speak about topics relating to science, let's even say in an Agadic context, when the Gemaras talk about some of the refuahs which take place in there, so did Chazal mean like this is what you should do? Not all Agadita is understood to be taken the same way, depending on what kind of Agadita statement it is. There does seem to be a little bit of a machlokas, followed by what appears to be more or less a consensus about the way in which we take Agadita. Some fantastic articles written about Agadita. Chaim Eisen wrote one years ago about the Maharal's approach to Agadita. There's a lot to talk about here. But if you look at least in the time period of many of the Gaonim spoke about Agadita relating to it with less authority, certainly than the halachic sections, and Agadita is a little bit more what you would call like an umdana, in the lashon of Shira Gaon. That's something which is our assessments or understandings, that some of the medical statements may be based on the medical statements of that particular era, but as some of the Gaonim would say, you know, they weren't doctors and not our doctors, and the person that has, you know, hepatitis wouldn't necessarily want to say, well, what did Chazal say about hepatitis? Minaka olam verapoye rape, based on the Gemara, Chazal themselves, that we go to doctors. But there definitely is, again, in the time period of the Gaonim, there were those that certainly related to elements of Agadita without the same sense of authority that they certainly were with the halachic sections. In many ways, beginning with the Maharal, and this takes us all the way down past that, but it's in some Rishonim also, in many ways you do find that there were Rishonim that did relate to Agadita with a degree of seriousness. The Rashba has Chizhi Hagados, a lot of discussion on the Agadita Mesachas Brachos. The Rambam writes about Agadita and the right way to learn Agadita. There definitely were Rishonim that took it very, very seriously. But giving its authority, the Maharal very much believed in the authority of Chazal in Agadic statements as well. He even, in Be'er HaGola, which is one of his Sfarim, where he writes a lot about explaining Agadita, explaining Chazal, so he writes very, very strongly against those who related to Agadita as if they were like equals with the Tanam and the Amoraim. Oh, that's that. No way. That's true. Nah, I don't buy that so much. It may not have the same status as halacha, but Agadita certainly is dealt with a degree of authority all the way down to where you find lines like this in the Igros Chazon Ish and Chelek Aleph, where the Chazon Ish says Mishar Sheha Emuna, fundamental principle of faith, Hashakoha Ne'emar B'Gemara, Beim B'Mishnah, Beim B'Gemara, Beim B'Halacha, Uveim B'Agada. That this Torah is Torah of a certain level, and a person who rejects, who is made to suffic in halacha or agadita, that person is like a kofir b'divrei chazal, v'shkitaso nevela upasol le'edas. It is not a statement which all Gaonim per se may have fully been on board with, but the Chazon Ish speaks about it with a certain kind of authority, the authority of halacha, the authority of agadita. The Leshem, if any of us are into Shtukah Kabbalah, Leshem is Eliashiv's grandfather, one of the great Mekubalim. The Leshem writes, Ha'ikra Mechayiv L'chol Asher B'Shem Yisrael Yechuna. All Jews have to, L'hamim Ben Muna Shlema, have to believe, She'kol Mashen Nimsa B'Divrei Chazal B'Halachos V'Agadata B'Shas V'Midrashim Heim Kulam Divrei Elokim Chayim. But the Torah we're learning with is Begeder Divrei Elokim Chayim, it's Begeder Elu V'Elu. It's a form of Torah which is very, very important. We're all only going to say that all lines in Gemara, the medicinal sect, etc. The answer is likely not. But as a general orientation, with all of relating to Agadita, Divrei Chazal, and we relate to Chazal with kavod, with respect, to understand it. Just like anybody, if a person, Rachman al-Litzlan, is very, very ill, and they go to an oncologist, the oncologist tells them something which at first glance seems to not make that much sense, their immediate reaction is not, I guess I don't know that much about oncology, that's probably the response of a humble person or one that wants to get the best medical care. When Chazal says something, so it's important to understand that it may be understood not at first glance, but certainly the world of Agadata is a world that we treat with reverence, the world we treat with reverence, and there's so many fundamental insights that you find in Agadata. Ad kedei kach, it's not coincidental, that we have so many who look at Sfarim nowadays, so much of our worldview is based on even Agadic statements, as we'll speak about in a little bit. How does a person learn Agada? So what's my goal in learning Agadata? What's my goal in learning Agadata? So let's try to branch things down, I guess, or break things down a little bit. The first as follows. Have any of you ever encountered this? I'm not sure if you have, but like real, sometimes you have this phenomenon that Shetzel describes in certain contexts of people that are great in the world of halacha, where they basically learn everything through the lens of halacha. So Sefer Bereishis becomes an opportunity to reassess lots of different halachic discussions. So we have this a couple weeks ago. How could Yaakov buy the Bechor from Esav? Don't we assume and Machna Kona Davar Shaloba La Olam? How is that possible? How could that be? How could Avram send Eliezer to be Mekadesh, a woman for Yitzchak? Mili lo mitzvah the shliach the Gemara and Gidin Daf Chav Tes. You can't appoint shliachim exactly like that way. Some of the Rishon, some of the Farshim has that kind of a question. And throughout Sefer Bereishis, you always find these kinds of things. You have even some intriguing discussions about bringing this recently. The Sefer that came out, I think, that Reb Chaim thought was ridiculous. You know, trying to explain how really the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos was really machlokas between like Paro and Moshe. You know, and like came out that we paskin like Paro lemaisa, like those kinds of like, you know, like sometimes it gets like you cross the line a little bit in some of these things. But there's Sfarim there's Sfarim out there. You have this as well when it comes to Agadata sometimes. That sometimes Bali Halacha are uniquely gifted at deriving halachic ideas even from Agadata. Is that okay or not? So here's one level of Agadata. Can I learn Agadata like a posek? Can I learn Agadata like a lamdin? So Yushalmi in Meseches Peah does tell us ein lemedim lomen halachas lomen haagados, that we don't learn lemaisa psak from Agadata. That we don't learn psak from Agadata. So it says in Yushalmi in Meseches Peah. There is, however, a major debate amongst poskim, as to whether the precise scope of that. The Tosfos Yontif claims that is always the case, that when you're learning Agadata, don't learn Agadata to derive from it halachic ideas. However, many poskim maintain, the Ad Malachi, the Pri Chadash, the Vadikot Latin Yabia Omer, and others, the Aruch HaShulchan writes like this, that so long as there is no machlokas between the Bavli, meaning if the Bavli is explicit, the halachic sections are explicit, that something is mutter usser, then you can't use an agadata to argue that the opposite of what it's clear in the halachic svarim. But so long as it's not if it's not explicit in the halachic sections of Gemara, so then again the Aruch HaShulchan, many of the posts can maintain you could use agadata to even derive halacha. And we quote an example on Friday of the Kasher Glover doing that from the Yirat Kadosh, the Aruch HaShulchan also, proving from Bilam's capacity to curse Klal Yisrael, that Bilam could do it in a minute. Tosva says that once he started talking, it was all included, learned from there about Zmani Tfila, that there are ways of doing this. The post can point out at times. Halach and Agada, they really can go together. About 3 years ago, we spoke about this. No, we didn't. At 5 o'clock in the morning on Shavuos night, and no final one, saw bet. We spoke about this, which means that nobody was there, but it was a good time to have by all. We spoke about the Aruch HaShulchan, the Chasim Sofer, and the Alter Rebbe Chabad, learning halacha from Agadata. But that is at least the halachic conversation. But most of us understand that we're presumably not learning Agadata for its halachic impact. So how do we learn Agadata? So let's talk about things on two or three levels. Level number one. The first thing in learning Agadata is, does the statement appear to be understood at face value? Many Agadic statements, as before, can be understood at face value. This part of your ear is not so bad because you can go like this. So maybe that we have to figure out which kinds of Agadic statements are considered to be Agadic statements that you're like, which kinds are at face value? Again, Chorban Bayis Rishon. You know, but Azara, that may be at face value what actually is going on there. Could be. Sometimes you have something else. Sometimes you have something else. And this is why, already from the Rambam, the Rashba, the Maharal, and others, in understanding that, it's often not the case. And that Agadata, oddly enough, to even understand the Pshat on any level, requires more understanding. That is different than learning Tanakh or learning the Halakhic section. Tanakh and the Halakhic sections, you could learn at Pshuto Shel Mikra level, and I got one level of understanding. Then I could learn at a deeper level and get a deeper level of understanding. That's not true with Agadata always. Agadata sometimes, the simple level, seems absurd. It seems ridiculous. And only when you delve can I then even understand the basics of the Agadata. The Rabbah Rechana Gemara is the Mesachta Baba Basra. It's impossible to get if there's not a deep understanding of all that's being there. Binach Likuti Moran has long discussed, the Gra have long discussions about these things. So, the following. Agadata, therefore, is often understood in one of two, we would say, additional levels. One is to understand it in a symbolic sense. The Chazal were trying to convey a particular idea. I'll give you an example of a medrash where this may come up. Avram is, the medrash tells us, or kastim, is thrown into a kivshan ha'esh. Is that medrash, again, same point as the God as I meant, is that medrash that he was literally thrown into a kivshan ha'esh and survived or not? So the posthumous is, yes, that actually happened. So assumes the Rambam and so assumed the Ramban. Avram was in a kivshan ha'esh. But let's say you held he wasn't. It's not in Psukim, he wasn't. Why? What would Chazal try to be conveying there? Something about what? What are they trying to convey about Avram Avinu by saying he went to the burning furnace? To show his mysterious nefesh, his commitment, what he was willing to give up. Meaning, if the Akedah did not convey to you enough about who Avram Avinu was, what he was willing to do, don't worry, he also would walk into a burning furnace himself. That there was something there about Avram Avinu that was uniquely powerful in terms of, you know, it conveys, but again, we assume that may have happened. But sometimes it's a point of symbolic significance. For the Maharal did a lot of work in the world of Agadata, arguing that all of Agadata is MS, but it's MS what you would call in more metaphysical terms. It's MS in a deeper sense, of a deeper spiritual reality that's actually taking place. So is Moshe Rabbeinu technically ex-tall? Point is, he wasn't technically ex-tall. But on a spiritual level, Chazal describing, that's how big he really is. That's how big he really is. Part of what the Iker contribution of the Maharal is, which is why Agadah needs to be read very, very carefully, is the Maharal understands that when Chazal presents Agadata, that there is no detail that is not significant. That all details, I don't know, that the details become wildly, wildly important. One of the examples of where this comes up, the Maharal developed a system, or the Kabbalah, a system of numerology. What that means is that the Maharal understands it is never coincidental that there are certain things. Chazal give an example. This happened 7 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5. All of those numbers express ideas, and none of them are random. It is not random that, and the Shemi Shmuel elaborates this a little bit, it's not random that there were 3 Averas that caused Chorban Habayis, or that there's 3 Harvayavar, or that there are 3 Avos, or that there are 3 things the Olam is Omed, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, or that there are 3, and the list goes on. It's not coincidental that 7 has certain connotations of Shemitah, of a Nida Nezava waiting 7 days, of Shabbos being 7. For the Maharal, there's a certain sensitivity to the Lashon which takes place. And that's, and for many Bali Machshava, although not all, Agadata becomes a primary source. That, Derech Agav, is a really important point. When you look at Mefarshim, I want to get a Torah perspective on issues. So what are the primary sources that they use? In the times of the medieval Rishonim, many of them, you look at Mor Nevuchim, you look at our Sajigon, they are not as based heavily, entirely on Agadic statements. They're not as based as heavily or intensely on Agadic statements. The Maharal's thought is almost all based, primary sources, on Agadic statements of Chazal. So the Maharal, when he writes about it, as an example, Ner Mitzvah, the Maharal Sefer on Chanukah. The Maharal writes there, a lot of the Maharal is Ma'amari Chazal, and explaining Ma'amari Chazal. Reb Tzadok, the Kohen of Lublin, also Reb Tzadok, often talks about agadatas. A lot of his mekoros are Mari Chazal, which he explains. Not everyone is that true. Not everyone is that always the case. There are some who will write, even nowadays, if you're a chassid nowadays, so if you're Rav Itzchak Meyer, let's use him as an example, because he's written recently, a lot of it is not going to be original, just takes on Mamir Chazal. You're talking about what the Hashem, what Rabbi Nachman understood, your brethren nowadays. Rabbi Nachman becomes a primary conduit for your Mesorah. It's less of an original take. But for many of the Bali Machshava, that's where it comes from. One second. The next place, what you find also, the Lamdanim will use Haggadah sometimes to derive some Lamdas, sometimes. Machshava, Bali Machshava, will learn it for Machshava, but not on the level of Pshat, but on the level of either symbolic or for the Maral, metaphysical Mitzias. These things are Mitzias. So did certain insects really go into Titus's head? You know, is that really what happened? So the answer is in the physical world, no, but it reflects a particular reality of what happened spiritually to him. You know, if you're familiar with that Gemara, Maseches Gittin. Bali Musar will often use Agadata, unsurprisingly, as a primary source for Musar insights and Musar concepts. That, I'll give you a good example of this. If anybody's ever learned the writings of the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim, this is a theory, I think I'm right about this. But the Chavetz Chaim often quotes Agadata, not like the Maharal. Meaning, when the Maharal quotes an Agadata, to break down every single detail about that Agadic statement. You look in the beginning of the Sefer Chavetz Chaim. In the Chavetz Chaim in a bunch of places, he will quote lots of Mamari Chazal to show how bad something is, to give you a general orientation of values. So I'll give you an example. When the Gemara says in Shabbos, quotes Gemara's time, that if you get angry, it's like you worshipped Avodah Zarah. So the Chavetz Chaim may say, he's from the Bali Musar, you know what I learned from this Gemara? That getting angry is bad. Getting angry is bad. And there are more Mamari Chazal all about how getting angry is bad. And the Gemara in Sota, when it tells us that if you have gaiva, it's like you're a kofar. What do I learn about that? That having gaiva is a terrible thing. And a lot of Mamari Chazal, how it orients us in a certain way. And some Bali Musar get more in details. For the Maharal, what would Maharal wonder? Why is getting angry compared to Avodah Zarah? What about getting angry? What are the qualities of anger that overlap with the quality of one who is over the Avodah Zarah? What is the overlap between those particular points? What's the message that's being conveyed through that and that particular formulation? Chaim Shmulevitz, we learned Sichos Musar. Chaim Shmulevitz is fascinating. He's about Musar. A lot of what he quotes are a lot of Gemaras, because it orients, it gives over values, it gives over Torah values in a very, very meaningful way. Look at the Rashba Nechusha Gados and Brachos on Vav Mer Aleph, the following line. Da, Sheyesh Lachamim Dvarim Ne'elamim. Chachamim have a lot of hidden and important things in Agadata. Remuzim B'Midrashim V'Agadah Sumim. A lot of things that are hints that are somewhat hidden. V'Heim Niglim Le'eni Hascham K'Dvarim B'Teilim. Not so intelligent people learn an Agadic statement and say, this is ridiculous. No way. But Uli Yodim Chain, Uli Mevinim, those that really know what's going on, they know how insightful it is. Sometimes it's secrets that only work if you are. Sometimes it's secrets, the power, Shaila. Sometimes the secrets only work if you're in enough. If you're Makubal, sometimes you can understand. But a lot of things, he says, Shane Nister Vinigla, they work on multiple levels, but you have to work hard to be able to understand them well. And that's in many ways what you find when it comes to Agadata. Again, Bali Halacha, Bali Machshava, Agadata is there. For many of the great Bali Machshava, becomes a primary source. Let's talk for a little bit more. I'm sorry I've taken so much of your morning this morning. What are sources or resources available if you want and you come across an Agadic statement? I want to understand Agadata. What are the Svarim out there that I could learn that are helpful for explaining Agadata? Anyone? Suggestions? Let's go. Ein Yaakov. There were three Svarim written in about the 16th century that were like systematic works explaining Agadata. Three Svarim. One is called Ein Yaakov. What is Ein Yaakov? It used to be much more popular. Ein Yaakov was? They took out all of the Agadic sections of Gemara, and it has different Mefarshim there on the Agadic sections. Ein Yaakov, it's a wonderful set. It isn't only the source for the Medrash, but how Esakevas Echat Tasevavoker is the most important pasuk in Chumash. It's also that. But Ein Yaakov, that is number one. It's actually not an Inyakov. We'll get there in a second what this is. It looks like it. It's a deceptive. What other sefer would you look at for a Gadata on the Gemara? Oh, we got a second. The Marsha. The Marsha and Chidushi Agados, the Marsha, if you look in the back of the Gemara, so the Marsha has two different kinds of comments. Halachic comments and Agadic comments. Agadic comments are in smaller font. I heard when I was in high school, a beautiful pshat from Ron Salvechik, in the name of Ron Salvechik, why the Agadic pshats were in a smaller font. I, however, forgot what it was. But I remember thinking at the time, wow, that was good. I want to remember that. And I remember that there is something he said once that was good on that topic. The Baruch Shalom should bless us with the ability to remember more. But the Marsha, because often explains a lot of, not every Agadata, but a lot of Agadata. What else is there? Maral, get to your point. The Maral. The Maral has Chidushe Agados. If you look up there, the blue editions of the Maral, those are the Rav Hartman editions. Rav Hartman, who's now in Hasmo, in London, put out a lot of Marals. He has still not, to my knowledge, put out the Chidushe Agados. There's a four-volume set over there, the Sifrei Maral, to the left of the blue ones. So those far are the Maral Chidushe Agados. Maral explains Agadata there very well. There's also Rav Kook on certain Gemaras. We have Rav Kook on which Masechtas? Brachos and Shabbos. We have a little bit on some Zrayim stuff. We have a little bit on Bikurim. We do have some, but Rav Kook did go through all of Brachos and Shabbos through his lens of understanding Agadata. Who else? What else do we have? One other sefer that's very, I think, important. The Ben Yoyada. The Ben Yoyada is very, very important. That was written by the Ben Ishchai. That is very important. I would even say we were going through a couple of Shabbos ago. Oh, my brother's not here. This we were going through my father's Sfarim. So I made sure to acquire the Ben Yoyada. It's a wonderful Ben Ishchai. It's a Perush on Agadata. Also very, very helpful. Just to even know where to look. I know there's a Ritva. I know there's a Tosfos. But what else is there? So those are some of the most important Sfarim that are there on Agadata as it comes up. There are some other resources that are very important. There are some Sfarim of the Gra on Agadata. The Gra did a lot on Agadata. He himself, to my knowledge, did not write those Sfarim on Agadata. Rabbi David Kamenetsky, who is Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky's son, wrote a Sefer called, over there, the Sefer called Torah Sagra. Jacob, you pick up your hand up right there. Yes, right. Yes, that's exactly right. So he actually goes through for the writings of the Gra, which Sfarim of the Gra wrote and did not write. So as far as the Agadata goes, I'm forgetting, but I think a lot of that stuff he himself did not actually write. But we do have Gra and a bunch of Masechtas. We also have the Sefer that I use a lot, but it's very helpful, is this. It looks like it's an Ein Yaakov, but it's not really an Ein Yaakov. It is an Ein Yaakov in that on the top, they have the Gemaras quoted in the Ein Yaakov, but there it stopped its connection to Ein Yaakov. What is it? So Hamaor, the publishing house, Hamaor put out like a 7 or 8 volume set called Ein Yaakov, where, that's my father pointing that to me, but what they have is as follows. On the side is an explanation of the Agadata, like an art scroll, like type for the Agadata. On the bottom, called Otros HaAgada, they basically lifted insights from, some of them from Rishonim, some of them from Sefer Chassidus, some of them from Bali Musar, and a lot of the Agadatas, and they summarize on the bottom with giving you insights of where they talk about things on different Agadatas. Let's say I'm learning Psachim Daf Nun Gimel Mebeis. Let's say I'm learning Psachim Daf Nun Gimel Mebeis, and maybe I don't know about a Shagas Aryeh relevant to Agadata, which is quoted in the Meshech Chachma in Shmos and Perek Zayin. Maybe I'm just not as familiar with that. Maybe I'm not as familiar with the Maharash Yafeh. You know, maybe I'm not.
Because they actually said what they said?
Yeah, said what they say. That's what they say. Rav Tzuriel. Oh, yeah? Great. And the first in the bottom, they have also here. They often also will quote for you other places in Chazal where these ideas come up. Other places in Chazal where these ideas come up. You also have Rav Tzuriel, who was a Mashkiach here in Shalvin for a long time, has a farm called Otros HaAgada. We actually also give you like references to people where they talk about Agadata. So for me, at least, if I'm learning Agadata, I'll open up a Gemara, I'll think a little bit, try to categorize it, I'll look around in the Marsha, in the Maral, in the Ben Yehoyada, in the Ein Yaakov, I'll look in this Ein Yaakov, and often you'll get like a little bit of a picture for where things are as far as the individual Agadatas, but it's definitely like a little bit of a different skill set, I think, and hopefully some good Torah. We'll speak about what we're going to do today now.